Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Washington, D.C. is Julie Myers-Wood. Julie is the CEO of Guidepost Solutions, and we're going to be talking today about ethical issues during internal investigations. Julie, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, Adam, thanks so much for having me.
So now, avoiding ethical issues is tough in investigation, starting really with a moment of allegation. Let's start what's owed the person raising the concern. We know that there's a need to protect the whistleblower. What else should a compliance officer be thinking about when it comes to the person raising these issues?
First and foremost, it's really important that you treat the person who's coming forward, the complainant, with respect. It can be very difficult for an individual to come forward with any type of allegation, especially one that involves their workplace and their work environment. And so it's important that you are there for them and they think that you're listening to them and are taking their allegations seriously. It's also very important to be sensitive, I think, to the nature of the allegations. Some of the allegations, particularly when they involve sexual harassment or a sexual assault allegation, they can be very delicate. And an employee may feel humiliated, embarrassed to raise this with a potentially a virtual stranger, like the compliance officer. When they're talking to you, you've got to make sure that your questions appear direct and to the point and are only what's necessary, and that you aren't really, you know, asking questions that could go unasked at this point or appear to be asking anything that's inappropriate. So it's really important to kind of keep that first conversation pretty narrow. One thing that we do see that comes up a lot that I think can be a big issue if not addressed up front is addressing confidentiality issues up front. A lot of times, particularly in companies that have compliance hotlines and anonymous hotlines, individuals think if they come forward, everything will always be kept confidential. And while you want to keep things confidential whenever possible, whenever practical, that can't always happen. And so it's important to explain, I think, to the complainant right away that although you'll do your best to keep the information confidential, you can't guarantee it because there is information sometimes that needs to be disclosed on a need-to-know basis in order to ensure the investigation is done thoroughly and properly. And there are also times when you have to disclose the information to a government authority, for example. So this is an area where if you don't have this discussion up front right away, I think there can be a lot of misunderstandings and bad feelings on the part of the complainant. So it's really important to focus on that. One other thing I think is critical to think about right up front to protect the employee, to protect the complainant, is to ensure that you think about their current work environment. And is the individual able to go back to their current work environment, or does the nature of the complaint mean they can't, mean that you should take some sort of action to get them out of a potential bad situation right away? That can be tricky, right? You don't, and you cannot do anything that appears to be retaliatory, appears to be demotion. So it's a very delicate balancing act. And frankly, that's one of the areas that I highly recommend, you know, seeking outside help, talking to outside counsel or an outside party to make sure that you're making the right choice, not leaving someone in a bad environment. On the other hand, not taking them out and making them feel that they are being retaliated against. If they are staying in the work environment, or even if they're not, frankly, it's important that the supervisor know that the company has a strong policy and it's the law not to retaliate. And so you've got to protect the person who comes forward. I think it's critical that the first interactions that you have with a complainant are good, thoughtful interactions that can really set the tone for the rest of the investigation and also affect whether or not other individuals will come forward. As a compliance officer, it's your goal to have these complaints come to you and not go directly to outside agencies or other places where the company can't fix it. And dealing with a complainant employee in a respectful, proper, appropriate manner can help create a culture where people come to you and the company is able to resolve the problems, hopefully without expensive litigation or other investigations.
Now, let's go back. You mentioned the thing about, you know, you want to treat everything on a need-to-know basis. One of the questions is, what does the complainant need to know? It's considered best practice as the investigation goes along not to keep the person raising the allegation up to date on how the investigation is progressing. From an ethical perspective, do you agree?
You know, I do agree. And it's hard because the person who makes the allegation, it's human nature. You want to know that it's being taken care of and addressed and immediately. And certainly I know from my days as a prosecutor that often when there were victims and we were pursuing an investigation, the victims got frustrated because, you know, the wheels of justice, you know, go kind of slowly at times and it takes a while. It also takes a while in a company for investigations to move along. But there are a number of reasons why you can't give the complainant a blow-by-blow on the investigation. It's not helpful, frankly, to the investigation and also could be unhelpful to the complainant. It also could affect attorney-client privilege if you're doing a privileged investigation. The best way, I think, to handle this is actually to have a discussion up front in one of these early conversations with the complainant or the whistleblower about the way that you will be able to provide information to them or not during the course of the investigation. And the practices that you have about notification and when you won't be able to provide information. It's also good and I think very helpful if the company has a written policy about how it handles investigations and how it handles information sharing. If you have a policy that you can point to on your website, in a handbook or something else, that can also give the complainant some assurance that you're following a standard procedure and you're not just cutting them off from information there. The other thing I think that can help in this sort of situation is if the company has a policy or and practice of regularly doing these investigations and the complainant knows that, then they can see that, hey, I may not get information, but I know that the company takes this seriously and it takes appropriate steps to resolve these.
Now, let's turn to the subject of the investigation. He or she is entitled to be treated fairly, of course. What does that mean in practice?
It's very important that you treat the subject of an investigation with respect. And in a culture that is encouraging complaints and allegations, there may be, you know, we may have instances where there are more false complaints and allegations as well as more valid complaints and allegations. And so you've got to make sure that the individual knows that the company is not going to jump to conclusions, but is going to take appropriate steps to determine kind of what happened. And then if there is a violation or an issue, is that the company is going to follow discipline that is consistent with the company's general standards. Again, it's very helpful to have this information documented in a handbook, in a code, so that the person who is being accused knows that this is not a one-off. The company knows how to do it and how to do it in a very respectful manner. I think one of the trickiest issues that I often see with when an individual has been accused of something or is the subject of an allegation, and I saw this a lot in the government, is that the individual who's been accused is applying for a promotion or a job vacancy, and they're being considered for that. And then the company, or the government in that case, is trying to decide, are we going to pick this person who's the subject of an open investigation? And that's a very delicate situation. I think it's very important to be fair to the individual who has been accused or is the subject of this allegation to make sure you handle it properly and to look at the credibility of the allegation. Can you get the investigation done? You know, how can you make sure that a false allegation won't keep an individual from getting a promotion which they're rightfully entitled to or a move that they've been seeking for a number of years? And it's that's hard. It's hard to do. But I think those judgment calls and case-by-case reviews to protect the individual who is the subject of an allegation are really, really important. And that's something I see very often in large corporations, as well as I saw in the government a lot.
Now, are there ethical issues that are more subtle than that and often overlooked?
I don't know if it's more subtle, but I think it is difficult to properly decide who needs to know about these allegations. When does the board need to know? When does the C-suite need to know? What is the extent they need to know? I think those are really critical and significant issues. Make sure that you're not oversharing in an instance, but giving the proper leadership the appropriate amount of information. I think another kind of common problem that's hard to deal with is, how do you deal with office gossip? How do you kind of try to rein that in? Things tend to get around, and there's an investigation going on. People have been talked to. How do you keep people focused, on their work? The other thing that I often think is a big issue, and frankly is a big problem sometimes with tips that are submitted through anonymous tip lines, is that the subject of the allegation or other leadership spends a lot of time focused on who submitted the allegation, who's done it, who is that person, rather than focusing on the allegation itself. And I think that really can defeat the purpose of these anonymous tip lines. And I think it's important as a compliance officer to steer the conversation back. If it's an anonymous tip that prompted the investigation, steer the conversation and the resources back towards the investigation versus the person who raised their hand with the concern.
Now, for a while, there was a lot of debate, albeit mostly focused on the legal aspects, of whether it was okay after an incident to share what happened in an anonymized way with the workforce in order to let them know what happens to people who do the wrong thing. Pretty much these days, there's a strong consensus that it is the right thing to do because it is so instructive. It shows people these things do happen here, that the company will act and will act appropriately. Do you think that's the right choice?
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely the right choice. I think it's important and instructive for individuals to understand what are the common traps or what things can go wrong. When I worked at the Commerce Department, we actually published a publication for companies that was called Don't Let This Happen to You. And the whole the whole publication was all about companies that made mistakes. And the point was, if you could read about that and see problems, you'd be more focused on how to avoid them here. And so I do think, while you've got to be careful on how you do it, it's important to share that information. It also helps individuals like the complainant or others know that the company does take action on things. It really helps with transparency on what's going on with the disciplinary process. And I think when people see that things can happen, and bad things do happen in good companies and people make mistakes in good companies, it really helps them to focus on their own behavior and their own culture and improving that.
Well, thank you for sharing all these insights with us. How to handle investigations properly is always a difficult issue, and the ethical issues there are certainly very important. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.